Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. We are once again live down here in the Bear Cave Studios for another episode of the Sports Frenzy Podcast, Sold Out. With me, your host, Freddy Loso, with my co-host, and only co-host tonight, Blackbeard himself, the Encyclopedia.
And gentlemen, first in the vein of Jason Todd, the Reverend, who is over in the land of the Ryan Seeing Sun right now.
He's looking for Yokozuna.
Yes. It's March 14th, and that means 20 years ago today was WrestleMania 20. I was there. Our former co-host Stevie G was there. You all know the history, and you also know that main event will never get mentioned again by WWE.
It's true.
Yes, Voldemort won the title that night.
Right.
Which is very timely because one of the first people who worked for WWE you see that night has also been blacklisted, hasn't he?
That's true.
So for those of you that really want to see the mastermind behind what made WWE as big as it is today, go buy WWE 20K4, I believe. Yeah. And yeah, enjoy the blurring out of Vince McMahon.
Yep.
So, let me go on my normal quote. It looks like somebody's going to be making some Monet.
Monet, they say.
Hmm.
Oh, also in the vein of the devil himself, today is 5 years since the passing of the bad guy.
Has it been 5 years already?
5 years from what I saw today. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Not that I don't believe you, but I'm like, yeah, that, stunned.
It was a graphic I saw.
Your graphic is wrong, sir. I'm sorry.
Is it 2022? So it's 2 years. Sorry,
2 years.
2 years, not five. Okay. 2 years for the bad guy.
Gosh. Sad.
Yes.
But you left an undeniable mark. And very timely that you mentioned it because Mercedes Moné hit AEW, and just like Razor, she has the finger rings on again.
Yep. They're back.
They're back.
What'd you think of the return?
So, I think there was a couple things that worked in her factor. She enjoyed herself. She looked like she was having fun.
Mm-hmm.
So good for her. The crowd seemed to be behind her. I think they were in Boston, her hometown.
For the most part, yeah.
What I thought was interesting, and I didn't pick up on it on the first segment where she debuted, and the whole place was chanting CEO. Then at the end of the show, when she did a run-in, I realized I think the CEO chant, and the top of the fact that they're trying to train us to do it with the CEO flashing on the screen, like, right, repeatedly, I realized I think it's embedded into her theme song. So I was like, this is going to be interesting because I think Boston, they loved her. They were happy. They were, you know, her family was there. And I thought it was a hell of a debut. Let's see where things go. I know the obvious setup we thought was going to be a feud with Toni Storm because that's, you know, Tony Khan usually likes to push his new signees to the top immediately and then, right, push them down the card a little bit, except with the exception of a few people. But I think he recognized that the hardcore wrestling fans, which is his core audience, the ones that like pro wrestling and not necessarily the sports entertainment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're going to remember that when Mercedes was injured back in, I believe, June, it was in a match with Willow Nightingale, who coincidentally works for AEW. So it seems like they're doing something there. I thought it was interesting, and I know if you watch AEW, you know that Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander had their problems with the TBS champion Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Do you see Mercedes starting off going for the TBS title, though? Now, my personal opinion is Tony Khan, like I said, knows that there's the history with Willow Nightingale, so let's play into that because any good wrestling feud, there is an issue. Even if it was an accidental, you turned it into a feud. Right. We've seen it with injuries before. We've seen it in real life situations. I'm not going to go through an extensive list of some examples. But the other thing I thought is the money match right now for AEW, the biggest match they could have, the two most popular as of last night that you have that are active, let me leave with that, is Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné. Seems like Tony's still got some stuff with Deonna going on. So I think the idea is let's get her through. Let's get Mercedes and Willow doing whatever they're going to do, whether it's a team up or respect or of some sort. Maybe they have a match. Maybe they team up. I don't know. But I think the idea is keep Deonna with Tony a little bit longer and save Mercedes versus Toni Storm for Double or Nothing in May.
That would make sense. It would be a disadvantage, I would think, if AEW blew their load right away on Mercedes. The slow build would make sense. Don't completely bury Toni Storm, who's been your hottest women's wrestler at the moment, right away. Let it build and let her gain her spot so that when she does ultimately lose to Mercedes, she doesn't free fall down the card. Like, she can still stay up in that upper echelon of the women's division and have a good run after the title. I enjoyed Mercedes' debut. I saw the pictures of Bayley hiding up in the rafters or on the backside of they caught a picture of her somewhere up in the arena. So that was cool to see. She didn't make, you know, WWE wouldn't allow her to be on camera at all. But I think a fan caught a picture of her up in the stands. So that was cool to see her supporting. I just hope they don't do it like every single other WWE signing that they've done in the past. I just hope they do it right, because she deserves it. She would be leaps and bounds the best women's wrestler they have in their company the minute she has her first match.
Excellent points. I definitely agree with all of that. I didn't realize one of the people she hugged was actually Kalisto. Oh, that's why he had a face. Because I was like, who's the person with the face mask?
Right.
Reading online now, because I live behind a rock the day after Dynamite. I'm usually working in my office where I don't mess around looking at wrestling stuff just because I'm on another network that they monitor.
Right.
Not that looking at wrestling's that bad. And funny enough, I did buy wrestling tickets today, so I'm the work computer, so go figure. But anyway,
nice.
I didn't realize Bayley was even there, but it makes sense. Yeah, and I see that there was a video that Trinity posted, I guess, of her and Bayley coming up with a disguise. So.
Nice.
And it's interesting. So first off, before we get to the Bayley piece of this, because I do have a thought there. Mm-hmm. Do you see, you mentioned Mercedes beating Toni Storm. Do you see that happening in the first match, or do you make it a series? Because I feel like I would have Toni win the first time. Let Mercedes give somebody their due first.
Yeah, I would think that would be perfect if they did that. Let her earn it. Don't just give it to her straight away. Let her go through a series of matches, go through like a gauntlet style, like just have to earn that title and not make it so easy. Like, first match she wins it and, you know, we're on the run with every other WWE signing that they've had.
All right, makes sense. So yeah, no, we're on the same page there. Number two, then this goes into the Bayley storyline with Io Sky. Bayley's got a major problem. Damage Control has four. And I keep wondering if Dakota Kai is going to turn and this is all part of the act and this is all part of the plan. But I felt like it was a prime setup for Mercedes to return. Now, we were pretty 100% sure that she was going to AEW. So where does that leave Bayley? Is Dakota Kai going to it's all a plan by her and Bayley to potentially get the belt on Bayley and off Io Sky? Does Dakota really have a problem with it? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that's the case, but it did make me think maybe Dakota's going to double turn. But Bayley needs somebody to support her. And we already saw on SmackDown Naomi talking to Bianca Belair about it. So it seems like they're setting something up, but what? I think Bianca has to be on the WrestleMania card in some way in a match. I don't think playing a second was the right role for her, so I don't see that happening. I'm going to throw it out there. I think the best role for Bianca would actually be, this is how you bring Jade Cargill in. Not in a feud. I would team them up for a while, and that would give Bianca a chance to kind of give the rub to Jade, and Jade can learn the WWE way live in person with somebody that's been doing it. And I would have them go after the Kabuki Warriors. And that could actually tie in a little bit to this Bayley storyline, maybe. But do you see Bayley getting any support? Do you think there's or do you think she's on her own? Any thoughts there?
Oh, man. I hope they would and not just leave her out to dry and just have to earn it that way. You did mention Trinity. Could they pull another Royal Rumble and bring back, was it Jordan Grace?
I guess the question is this, would TNA allow her to appear?
Right. And where's her contract at?
Yeah, that's true too. I don't think so, but that definitely be intriguing.
Yeah. Because you have the tie with Trinity and how close they were, and they had the little rumble spot where they hugged because they were their friends in real life. So that could make sense. You have her like, no one in WWE is going to help me. I need to go outside. And then she brings her in.
All right. Yeah, it's possible. I don't see it happening, yeah, but anything can happen. And then going back, and we're going to steal a topic that Rob wanted to discuss. So sorry, Rob. You could give your 2 cents next time you're with us. Next time you're on the show. Rob, is AEW at a point where they should have a separate women's show and possibly bring in the Women's Tag Team Championship? He initially suggested this for the episode last week, which, guys, circumstances... I was the only one that ended up being available last Thursday.
Right.
And I don't think anybody wants to see a video of me talking to myself, even though I think it would be funny as hell to do that.
It would be hilarious.
So, but anyway, should AEW have a women's show and tag belts for the women's division? Are we at that point that roster is robust enough to do that? What do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think it would be enough to pull off a whole show and make it intriguing enough for everybody to be locked in for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Not taking anything away from the women that are there now. Like, it's just, I don't think the star power's there to pull it in and keep the eyes on the product for 2.5 hours. Like, at least when WWE did it, they had Charlotte, they had Ronda, they had Becky, they had Bayley, they had Sasha. Like, didn't they bring back Trish and Lita for that as well? Like, they made a whole spectacle of it, and you know, they had enough star power to pull it off. I just don't think AEW has a star power or intriguing enough storylines to be able to do it.
Okay, and I think I know where his question was going, and I didn't think about what you just referred to. So yeah, in the pay-per-view, I definitely agree with you. What about a weekly show of some sort?
A weekly show?
I could see it in the Rampage slot as a 1 hour, maybe. I think they could get a 2 hour if they really tried. I think their roster is big enough. I don't know if fans would come watching it. And I'll be honest, I don't think Rampage gets that many viewers anyway. So maybe Rampage would be the experiment to give it a shot and see if that does anything. Right. But that's my thought.
Unless, you? I don't know. I don't want to downgrade them to YouTube either, like, but maybe you start there and then build it to like take over Rampage, or at least start it like, hey, the second half of Rampage for the second half of the hour is all about the women. Maybe start it that way to see if you can pull in the audience enough to raise the viewership for it.
Okay. And what about tag belts?
Tag belts, I think they have enough of a roster to do so. I don't think it would take away or hurt the division. I think it could actually help some of the women further down the card to shed some light on them. Some that aren't so great in the ring but have potential, you can match them up with somebody who is more seasoned and can carry them throughout a match. And I think that could actually be a benefit to that division for them.
Yeah, I know a couple of years ago I would have disagreed, but now we have, when we saw it on Dynamite this week, Julia Hart and Sky Blue, there's an established opportunity there. Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale have teamed up together. I know it's in the past, but we had Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter or Rebel. You could do either one of them. I had another one in my head, and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank here. Oh, our reigning women's champion, Toni Storm and Mariah May.
That's right.
So there's options there, and I think this is one of the areas where I know I do my fair share of AEW bashing at times. I think this is something where they might do a much – not might. They would absolutely do a much better job than I feel like WWE's done with those women tag team belts. It seems like the women's tag team belts go in waves with WWE. Like, at least with Triple H, it started getting a little bit more establishment, but then they got rid of the NXT ones, and
right.
I think it was Alba Fire and Isla Dawn.
Yes.
Drop the belts to Rousey and Baszler, I think it was like 9 months ago. And then that tag team disappeared altogether.
Then you haven't seen the belts really much
since. Yeah, it was basically Chelsea Green and the Flavor of the Month for a while. Because I think I don't even remember who her first partner was that she had, but I know Piper Niven, I remember, was the second one. And at least the Kabuki Warriors, I feel like they're going to make a more of an effort there, and it seems like they have, but I feel like they're going to throw random teams out there. And it's funny because they have a lot of tag teams in that women's division. We saw this week. By the way, a couple of bizarre segments, and we could go through those next if you don't mind. And yeah, I know that wasn't something we were going to talk about. First off, any thoughts on the Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae, Maxine Dupri, Ivy Nile tag team match and what Candice LeRae did?
I missed that one. I fast forwarded it through it.
But that's how quick it was.
I didn't really. I was like, oh, here. Okay. Let's go.
I can get 5 minutes of my life back.
Right. What'd you think of it?
I saw what they were going with it. I had talked to my coworker friend about it, and he was like, what the hell was that? Did you see what it was? It was like, it was terrible. It seemed like the crowd was dead. They didn't get it, blah, blah, blah. And I watched it back. I was like, the crowd wasn't fully reacting to it, but I think it was because it was just so different. And it was basically Candice LeRae got in the ring as Maxine was doing like a cartwheel into a caterpillar or some crap like that. Mm-hmm. And right when she was about to jump up to do the caterpillar, Candice LeRae stepped in front of her and was like, no, we're not doing this. You're not doing this to her. You're a joke. You're terrible. You don't know what you're doing. And she's like, you're embarrassing yourself. And I think it was something along the lines of, and I don't remember the exact words, but she referenced that like, apparently Maxine Dupri has a dead brother. And then was like, oh, don't cry. And Maxine ended up losing the match pretty quickly. And I think it was basically Indy had gotten a pump kick on her, and Candice was like, pin her now. So it was like, it was a real weird segment because it kind of went into a little bit of the kayfabe and real life stuff. And then to top it off, and I don't know how many people noticed it, and Rob, credit to him, pointed this out, Christian Cage at the same time texted, they all want to be like me. Something along those lines. And I was like, oh, crap.
That's hilarious.
Good for him if that's what he was referring to.
Well played.
He was. It's like, well done, sir.
Right? That's funny. That's crazy.
Anyway.
But yeah, all right. I think it's a we talked about it 2 weeks ago where, you know, the whole Twitter thing with Maxine Dupree and them actually putting it on screen is interesting.
They turned it into a storyline. They capitalized on it.
Mm-hmm. It's smart.
Yeah. And I'm sure they ran it by her first. I mean, who knows? Right. Maybe it was her freaking idea. I mean, who knows? They seem to be a little bit more open-minded. So big business as a whole, was it worth the hype?
I don't know, man.
I'm torn because there were parts of it that I thought were really good and parts of it that I thought were like, eh. That Samoa Joe Wardlow match, they threw that away on Dynamite, and I didn't think it was really – it was decent, but nothing to go home about.
Right.
Hook and Chris Jericho tag-teaming against the Gates of Agony, and do I care? Bullet Club Gold seems to be back.
Let's take them off TV. No, they're back now.
I'm just like – you. I was like, what was the point? You spent all this time having them have conflict to organize and become one large group with the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn, Bang Bang Scissor Gang, and then
did you catch Billy Gunn basically yelling out spots where you could hear it on the camera?
I was watching on my iPad. Catching up this earlier today on, and I watched the whole segment. I didn't pick up on that, but it just, I don't, I'm like, why should I care? I mean, the one match that probably stood out was the Jay White Darby Allin match, but, and the whole, when somebody's going to be off TV, we got to run an injury angle and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
We all know Darby Allin was going to climb Mount Everest. So do we really need to go there? Right.
Oh, I wanted to get your thoughts because we missed it last week because none of us were available. But the Darby spot during the Sting match, is this guy looking to kill himself? Like, is there no one in the back that's like, hey, let's fucking calm the fuck down? Like, I know we've talked about it in the past with him with his coffin spots and stuff like that. Like, I feel like what's next for him? Like, how much higher can he go up and before he really does damage to himself on live TV?
I think he's an adrenaline junkie. And that just popped into my head. Even the match with Jay White, some of the moves he was taking, I was like, are you crazy? Especially after the glass spot where, you could see from those bandages, he's got some major holes and just pushing infection possibilities there. Mm-hmm. And he's supposed to climb Everest is what he said. Mm-hmm. The glass spot was totally unnecessary, especially at least it almost looked like Nick Jackson was pulled out of the way or Nicholas Jackson. I'm sorry. Oh, crap. I'm going to get a fine.
No,
But yeah, that glass spot, and the funny thing is, I saw on social media, real grass, cry me a river.
So bad.
Real glass. Sorry, I came out wrong. I was like, yeah, it was not necessary. And even before that, when Sting when they had it, and he hit it with the bat, I was like, all right, this is a retirement match. This is probably what he wants. Fine, but I never looked at Sting as an extreme hardcore wrestler, so I was like, do we have to keep doing this? But whatever, he was on his way out. Darby, I just think he's an adrenaline junkie, and I hope he doesn't take it too far where he ends up injured on live TV. I don't want him injured, period. But I don't want anyone injured, period, unless I really hate you. But
Young Bucks.
I wouldn't even go that far. I get that they made a huge contribution to the industry. I just don't like their style of match. And actually, I don't have a problem with Matthew Jackson. It's Nicholas Jackson. I think he's just an arrogant asshole. But
fair.
And they've kind of played into that in the EVP storyline. Matthew seems to be the sense.
They really have. Yeah, they've gone full tilt on that one.
Do you think Darby is taking it too far? Do you think he's going to die on TV?
I don't know, man. It's almost to the point where it's cringy to watch him. Like, some of the stuff he does, like when he took that coffin spot backwards on, was it Dynamite, and he landed on the apron, like, I'm like, dude, you literally just went maybe 30 feet up on through glass, and then now you're doing this. Like, give your body a second, bro. You're gonna have serious health problems, and your body's gonna break down. And, you know, pray to God it doesn't happen, but getting addicted to painkillers and stuff like that just to deal with the pain that your body's gonna be going through, like, calm down for a little bit. Tone it down a notch.
Does he know how?
There should be somebody backstage to talk some sense into him, but I don't think
we know how that goes.
Yeah. That's crazy. What's your over under on Mercedes being complained about in AEW? Like, how long do you, like, it took, what, 2 months, 3 months before they started complaining about Adam Copeland? What's the over under for Mercedes?
I'm going to be honest. I think the Adam Copeland issue was, there was no issue. I think the dirt sheets just needed to come up with a topic to get some clickbait, and because we didn't really hear much about it.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I think the bigger one was, how long will she beat CM Punk's record? And I'm going to be honest, I don't remember what it was. I didn't think it was that long, but because what did he debut? He had, people forget, Punk went almost a year before there was a real issue there, because he got injured and then he came back, and then the infamous incident at Chicago occurred.
Right.
So we'll say the over-under on that is a year. And then he came back from injury, and it was within weeks. I'm thinking at least 90 days. I'd say after Double or Nothing, maybe, if at all. Because I think this is really what she wants. She wanted creative control, I feel like. She's getting paid handsomely. And who knows? She might. She said in an interview last week, she knows one day she'll be back at WWE.
She did. I did see that. I was about to bring that up.
So does she already have it in her head that I am going to make my money for a while and then I'll get myself fired and get out of there? I mean, I don't think she thinks that way personally. I don't think that's her style. But she looked genuinely happy. She looked fine.
I was trying to see.
But yeah, I think she's going to be all right for a while. I'd say give it a year and we'll see. She might, because if you think about it, if you look at that roster, who's the biggest name they have now that made a name somewhere that it's, most casual, like, yeah, she's
still
it.
In their prime.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think the only comparable you have maybe is Saraya, and she's not on.
Right.
She's not on enough. So I think
that's fair.
She knows that she's the barometer. She's the CEO of that women's division, no pun intended.
Yeah.
So let's see. I think I've read this online and I don't totally disagree. They were in Boston. They were like, oh, they got 9,000 people. This is great, blah, blah, blah. That arena holds more than that. A lot more.
Well, you saw the pictures. The whole hard camera side from half the bowl was empty.
Again? Jeez.
Yeah, it was
I read that they had over 9,000, and I think going into it 2 days before, they had only sold 7,000, which, unfortunately for AEW, when it comes to their TV shows, that's actually the highest number they've had in months. Like, when I went in Newark with Jason, I think they maxed out at 7.5. And the Prudential Center, I believe, holds 16, 18. So their pay-per-view seemed to be selling well, because I heard that St. Louis, the Destiny pay-per-view, selling pretty well. Okay. I think at World End was questionable, but they ended up selling most of it out. We know the Greensboro Coliseum sold out, although some of the camera angles they used in that show, you could see some empty seats, and I don't think it was where they had actually sold seats. It was more towards the here's the entrance, and it was kind of like, you know, that obstructed view, so they're not going to try to sell those. But for some reason, they showed it at one point, and there were scattered people there, and I was like, why would you do that? There wasn't so unnecessary. You could tell the place was packed.
Right.
For a TV taping, I think they did well, but I think it's we're going to run into the same thing we saw with a lot of their other big signings. I think they'll pop a rating for a couple weeks, and then it's going to go back down to earth. Yeah. I mean, even they said it happened with Punk. Yeah, the rating went down a little bit, but there's still, I'd say, another 100,000 viewers more than they had been getting for a while. So.
And he was moving a shit ton of merchandise for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I could see her. I could see her doing. She's not going to be as big as Punk. That's a fact. Yeah. And a lot of people, I think a lot of wrestling fans that don't get her don't like her, and that's fine. A lot of them want to see her fall on her face and get a wake-up call that she's not as big as she thinks she is. And she's one of my favorites. I love her. I love Bayley. Yeah,
agree.
I have a list of like 4 or 5 that I think the world of, and she and Bayley are on the top of that list right now. I tend to agree, though. I think she's not as big as she thinks she is, and I think there's a wake-up call coming. But I think a lot of the veterans that are signing from former WWE, I noticed specifically with Jericho. Jericho, how many years do we hear how AEW is number one, wrestling company, what have you? He's gotten very quiet lately.
Yes, very, very quiet.
Yeah, and I think he knows that when you're not selling the tickets, what are you going to say? I think a lot of them know that AEW is not going to be number one. They cater to a certain audience, so they can't. That audience is not going to get them to a number one. I'm sorry. I love you, hardcore wrestling fans. I'm one of them at times. You're not the audience that's going to sell that arena out. They need to get the casual fans interested, and that's just not their style, and that's fine. I think a lot of the veterans realize, hey, this is an alternative option where they're going to pay me top dollar, and I don't have to work as hard as I did for WWE.
Right.
I mean, it was the same thing with WCW for a while, but... And AEW is truly run like an indie promotion. Like when you have the sudden turns and what have you, and that's fine. That caters to a certain audience. I think it wears on me in the respect that I expect that from an indie show. You're only seeing them if you go there in person most of the time. And it's once, twice a month they're running a show. It's not a weekly show.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
What do you think?
I think it's going to end up like WCW. I think you're going to get the older names. They'll go over there because the money's guaranteed. You can sit on the couch and take your time. But I think it's just they'll wind up accepting their spot as number two and just riding it out. I don't really see much else. Like they're never going to get to the level of WWE. Like I don't see it. They had their opportunity, but they dropped the ball.
Yeah. All right. So next, we haven't gotten much into the lawsuit lately. And I before we get into this next topic, I actually did go back and read the 60 pages recently.
Okay.
And as much as the summary hit on a lot of it, the blow-by-blow physical and verbal and mental abuse this woman went through, a summary doesn't capture it all. If what everything was said was true, which it sounded like it was. I mean, so if that's the case and there's not criminal charges brought up, I don't know how they haven't been already. There's a major problem. The stuff that this guy, if it's true, that Vince did to her is just unimaginable. I know a lot of you read this 6-7 weeks ago, and I couldn't bring myself to do it. I finally said, all right, I'm going to sit and read this thing. And I was like, holy crap. Like, the details, the dates, they had specific dates and everything. And just, but anyway.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and you never actually read the 60 pages, right? I know it's a hard read, so a lot of people couldn't.
I've read the summary.
Okay, so what was noted in the last week and a half or so on the WWE roster, all of a sudden Brock Lesnar has reappeared.
He supposedly they're making plans for his return. Do you think he fits into Mania season? Did that ship pass? Do you bring him back at Mania to set up something for SummerSlam? Like, what do you think the plan would be for Big Bad Brock?
My personal opinion, and I was a Brock fan. I know he was. It was hinted at that he was involved. He wasn't specifically named, but it was strongly indicated. I think until that lawsuit settled, and you know for sure he wasn't involved, I'm not bringing him back. But let's say in a perfect world, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, they could prove it. The second Sami Zayn became number one contender, I think that ship sailed. I don't know what a good option for him is now. We already saw Drew versus Brock. You could have done that rematch, but Drew's in the title picture.
Right.
That's out. Fantasy booking?
Do it.
Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody. And we know Solo and Jimmy are going to probably get involved, and Jay might have offset it, but that's it. I'm having Brock. He showed respect for Cody in his last match. Test the waters. Brock costs Rock that match. And because we're doing matches, people are appearing on both nights, that either sets up Brock Rock 2 at SummerSlam, or you could even set that up for night 2.
That would be interesting.
Because I don't know what's left. If he's not facing Gunther, how do you bring him back?
Yeah, would it make sense?
And by the way, I'm going to go as far as saying, and I like Sami Zayn. He's one of my, not favorites, but he's up there. He's, I'd say, top 10 that I'd like watching. And I did have a Sami Zayn shirt for a while. Sami, I don't have beating Gunther. I'm probably in the minority. But I feel like the Gunther title change needs to be somebody that's going to get a major rub from it. And Sami was in a main event recently, but he's been Intercontinental Champion before. I still think Jey Uso was the option, and I would have done Jimmy versus Jay at Elimination Chamber, get it out of the way, because I'm sorry, I don't think people want to see that as much as they think they do.
Yeah. I don't think it's a Mania match either. I would have preferred to see Jay versus Gunther, but I don't think Gunther loses at Mania because they are going on that whole European tour after. So I just don't see it. I see him keeping it until at least, at that point, what would it be, SummerSlam?
I mean, in theory, you could also do Money in the Bank.
Oh, Money in the Bank, maybe. Too. But Money in the Bank is what, France this year?
Toronto.
Okay,
so France is getting backlash. And then I think they haven't named it, but the rumor is in May it's going to be back in Saudi, or June, whenever it is.
Okay. So you could do it Toronto.
Yeah, and I guess in theory, you can't have Jay
win it because they can't go to Canada.
God, is that still going on? I thought they moved past that at this point. I mean, you could do Sami Gunther 2 in Toronto, and even though it's not Montreal, it's still Canada for Sami. Right. But yeah, I don't think Sami's the guy. And this goes back to when Brock into the streak. I feel like it's got to be a legend.
Right.
You know, it was too big for him to topple, or it's got to be someone that could use that rub. And I don't think Sami fits into that criteria for either.
Right. I agree.
I mean, it's too bad he's on SmackDown. At least KO versus Gunther went to a no finish before.
Right. So you could pull that again.
Yeah. But I mean, you could have put LA Knight in that spot, move him over from SmackDown, but I think LA Knight versus Logan Paul made more sense. Instead, we're going to probably get Logan Paul versus Randy Orton. I don't understand that.
Oh, speaking of Logan Paul, what do you think of the Prime logo now on all the premium live event mats?
I don't like it, but I get it. It's a business move. UFC's been selling ad space on their mats for years. They're all under the same umbrella. I get it. It makes business sense. I'm not thrilled about it, but I mean, it's not the first time we've seen logos on mats. I think AEW has done it before. I know WCW has definitely done it.
Yeah, WCW used to do it. I remember seeing the Slim Jim logo all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, WWE hasn't really done it themselves with another brand, but I think WrestleMania 12, if you go back and watch it, the logo was on the middle of that mat.
Yeah, remember they sold the was it the Shawn
yeah, they used to cut up pieces of the mat.
Yeah, and they had the logo on it.
Yeah, yeah. If you were lucky to get a piece of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I guess you could have been if you bought that plaque with the piece of the mat, it could have been the corner where there's no ads. But
right, yeah, that's true. All right, Encyclopedia, tell us what we got in store for the rest of the episode.
All right, so the main event I mentioned earlier, 20 years, WrestleMania 20. And very timely, it was also the last time The Rock was in a tag team match at WrestleMania. It was the only time that Rock was in a tag team match at WrestleMania. So for those of you that might not remember, at WrestleMania 20, it was The Rock and Sock Connection reuniting. But it was The Rock and Mick Foley. It wasn't Mankind. You know,
right.
And they faced the team of the then Intercontinental Champion, Randy Orton, who we just mentioned, and the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, and Batista, who had just come off a Raw tag team title run. A little background about this match. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to cheat off Wikipedia because I don't remember exact dates. June 23rd, 2003, episode of Raw. There was an on-air ceremony honoring the great Mick Foley for his achievements. Orton and Ric Flair attacked him backstage, and if you remember, Orton specifically threw him down a flight of stairs.
Right.
I believe he kicked him down the stairs, if I remember correctly. Mm. Foley ended up returning as a replacement for Steve Austin as Raw co-general manager later in, and this was later in the year, and gave himself a shot at Orton's Intercontinental Championship on the December 15th episode of Raw. So this was right after Orton had won it, I believe. I think he won it from RVD, if I remember correctly, but I could be wrong. Foley walked out of the match and would not face Orton. Interesting. Give yourself a match, but not do it. And Orton even spat on him. I think that was an infamous segment.
Right.
So on the January, I don't think is accurate. So I think Wiki's wrong here, but it said on the January 19th episode of Raw, Furious Austin declared that Foley would be entered in the Royal Rumble match and be expected to return and wrestle, which he did by eliminating Orton and himself from that match. Now, what I remember that Royal Rumble was, Test was supposed to come out. His music hit. He didn't come out. They went backstage, and Austin was checking on Test, and he like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "No, now you're in the Royal Rumble match. Get out there." That's what I remember.
Yeah, I don't remember that as well.
So I don't. Could be wrong, but anyway, storyline goes on. March episode of Raw, the first of the of March, Foley was joined by The Rock, who challenged Batista, Orton, and Flair to a handicap match. So I'm reading it off Wikipedia, folks. It's been 20 years. I know I call itself the encyclopedia, but the encyclopedia does research as well. That's what we use encyclopedias for.
Right.
Exactly. If you still do that, I don't even think students use encyclopedias anymore, so I'm archaic. What else is new? But so if you're interested, we're going to go to 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 10 seconds. I believe it's after three initial commercial breaks on WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
At the 1 hour, 8 minute, 10 second mark, you see Rock and Foley, who had just cut a promo, and Lillian Garcia in the background thinking about the Rock strudel.
Right.
That wasn't this wasn't the same night as that promo, but it's still funny because she's got this goofy smile.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And you're ready, sir?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Okay, so we're on Peacock. You got to go to WrestleMania Season 20 because we're so original on the Peacock side.
Right.
And again, 1 hour, 8 minute, 10 seconds. I'm going to say 3, 2, 1 and play. When I say play, you hit play, and I'll probably be a second behind because I'm always late on it. But anyway, so it's 3, 2, 1, play.
There we go. You got Mick Foley with the FDNY shirt.
Mm.
And The Rock pre all his tattoos.
Evolution actually coming out right now.
Yeah, no, I saw a Rock in the back.
Oh, okay. I was like,
that's what popped it out. Pause.
Oh, God, Howard Finkel.
Yeah. You got the Fink. Very old school there.
Is he this still card was so no, stacked.
Did he pass away? I think the
he passed away. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's one of many that we might remember from our childhoods that are no longer with us. I think it's interesting that Flair is wearing the robe and the other two guys are just, you know, doing their own thing. Flair actually doesn't look that terrible here yet.
No, he doesn't. He was still in pretty good shape there.
I guess this was four years before his retirement. What ended up being his last WWE match, but and I don't think at the time anyone saw Batista as being a main eventer.
I don't think so.
But either. A year later,
he turned it around. I give it to him
quickly.
Yeah.
I think they thought it was going to be Orton, but Orton, they turned him face, and it was just didn't go over the way they thought. I know a lot of people say it was Triple H using politics to keep him down, but I don't know that that's the case. If you saw the Randy Orton bio that was just on a few weeks ago, folks, you know why I'm saying that. Where Orton basically said I wasn't ready.
He had a lot of the backstage stuff too that didn't favor him either. Mick Foley was in decent shape here too.
Yeah, well, I think he said he had done a lot of exercising and lost a lot of weight because he actually looks thinner here than he did even in his prime.
Right.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
No, I'll give you a report on that. I'm actually, so for those of you in the New York, New Jersey area, if you want to make a little ride out to Hackettstown, if this gets posted in time, Friday, March 15th, Independent Superstars of Pro Wrestling are running a show at the Hackettstown High School. And it's called Have a Nice Day, and Foley's going to be there.
Nice.
And for the low price of $60, you could get a photo or an autograph, or if you want both, you could pay $80. I'm going to tell you right now, I am not, because I've already paid for an autograph once, and I met him another time and got an autograph. So he's gotten enough money out of me.
Right. He's on his end tour, right? Like, I think by the end of the year, he's calling it quits, and he wants to go into hibernation. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rock looks so small here than he does now in his 50s.
God, it's insane.
I mean, I guess at this point he was full-time into movies, but he doesn't look like The Rock to me.
Yeah, I think he looks very, Gridiron Gang?
Was that around this time?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because he's got the goatee, but I'm going to be honest, I never watched Gridiron Gang.
It was one of his underrated ones.
Yeah. Yeah, he did one, was it called, like, I think it was a sequel to, like, Get Shorty or something. Was it, like, Too Cool or something?
Yeah,
something
like Too that, Cool, or, yeah.
I never With saw Mitch that Vaughn. One. I think
he
I remember
was,
seeing,
he was pretty funny in that.
Yeah, I think he was in The Mummy Returns. I saw that, and I saw, which... I think most of his appearance was actually CGI'd him as a scorpion, like.
Yeah, the Scorpion King. Then he had the Scorpion King. That was another one.
The too. Movie. And I remember seeing Walking Tall.
Walking Tall was pretty good.
Yeah. I think what steered me away from him for a while was he did this one called Southland Tales. Like, he was in it. Sean William Scott was in it. I believe Sarah Michelle Gellar. And I got 20 minutes into this thing, and I had heard it was bizarre, and I was like, I can't follow this. I have no idea what's going on, and I just turned it off.
Oh, is that when he was, like, the driver, right? I don't know. I think so.
That
one was weird.
I'm just double-checking to make sure we didn't do a watch-along of this match because, you know, Royal Rumble 95 we've done twice.
Yeah.
We didn't, luckily. I don't think we've actually done any from WrestleMania 20.
Yeah, no, I don't think we've done.
I guess he trusts The Rock to do a backdrop on the nice sequence.
That was very nice.
Well done, guys. Well done.
It's weird seeing him with hair now. Like, I feel like it's been so many years that he's been bald.
Yeah. Well, and with the short haircut, because, you know, we had the big puffy hair for a while when he first debuted, and I feel And the goatee. I don't recall him seeing him that often with the goatee.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't really have a lot of facial hair in WWE before that.
Yeah. So, did you think the ending of SmackDown with Cody slapping him, just it seemed like they just ran out of airtime and they didn't know what the hell to do?
If you see the fan footage from the crowd, the production rushing them on the outside. So I think they rushed it.
Yeah. For whatever reason, they seem to end that show like 5 minutes before the top of the hour, which I don't understand, because there were so many times on other broadcast networks, like when they were on UPN or even on or their cable shows, they'll go up to that last minute. I'm like, why is Fox? They got to end 5 minutes early. I get it if it was a minute or two, but it's always like five. And I think it's obvious for me, because for those of you that have an Xfinity on certain networks and certain shows, they actually mark the episodes with a commercial skip. Like when you hit that 30-second jump button or the fast forward button, it'll go right through. It's called a smart resume. It goes right through the commercial. You don't have to watch it.
Oh, nice.
So I usually end up watching it the next day for that reason, because I just hate sitting through commercials. And that said, I've always noticed that the part that's marked for the next last smart resume of the show is always in the last 5 minutes. And I'm like, why? Why do you end so early? So crazy. And it just seemed awkward. Like, Ryan kind of turned around and had this sinister sick smile on his face. And I'm like, in the past, that would have been a brawl, which I would have understood that. And instead, it was like, that's how it ended. And I got to go back to watch the fan video that you've referenced, because I didn't see what happened after that. I just saw the footage of them like signaling, you got to hurry up, you're running out of time. And it's like, why the hell did they have to waste 10 minutes just entering all four of those guys in?
Yeah. Just get them out there quick already. But they each got to get their entrance. They each got to come out. They got to play to the crowd. Like,
yeah. And I think it's the Cody-Seth entrance that could have shortened that a little bit more. But
yeah. I'm digging The Rock's new entrance, though. The whole...
The lightning thing?
Yeah, the lightning thing, and how it strikes right when he comes out. Like, it's well done. Very well done, I think.
That's true. That's true.
You got Batista here making Rock look small, and now it's the other way around.
Yeah. But the other interesting thing is when Batista was laying those knees in, it seemed like The Rock's timing was slightly off, like he was jumping too early.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Rock was very entertaining. I never thought he was a great wrestler. I thought he was good.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. I think his strongest suit was always on the mic. Like, he could talk for days.
Oh, yeah. Still can.
Yeah.
Do you feel that he's pushing the envelope now with some of the promos he's cutting? Like, he's like stuff that's borderline not PC, and he's running with it because he still thinks it's the Attitude Era and he could get away with it?
See, I've read something on this, too, where they were talking about it's a big feud, right? So you gotta... Mm-hmm. You can go above and beyond and push the envelope. I mean, I think it's funny, some of the stuff he's saying. Like, he's calling people crackheads. Like, I think that's hilarious. Like, to me, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I don't take it as, oh, he really means they're crackhead. No, he's being facetious and he's being funny. And he's trying to get the reaction and he's getting it. So, it is working. I enjoy it. I don't see anything wrong with it.
So I don't see anything wrong with it, except that wrestling is always held under a different microscope, which drives me nuts. But and I feel like this is a rub from The Rock because of the stuff he's saying, and it came from Roman where he called Seth Rollins a crossdresser, and I'm like, all right, that I think you got to be a little bit careful about stuff like that, because there's an audience there that's going to rip you apart. And I read, and I didn't even pick up on it at first until I read online, and then I played it back, and I was like, ooh, that probably wasn't the smartest move. But even with Rock talking about the crackheads and stuff like that, I'm like, you could get away with that in the late 90s, and I get it's for entertainment, but when you're on the board of TKO and you know wrestling gets scrutinized, and it, right or wrong, and I personally think it's wrong because if scripted TV could get it, guess what, folks? You say it's fake, it's choreographed, it's a TV show, just like the stuff, right, your scripted stuff you're watching on TV. So let's be realistic here. I think him as being on the board, when you questioned, like what Vince did before all these allegations, what as a chairman, the stuff he did, like the Kiss My Ass Club and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, did you learn anything?
At one point in that promo, Rock said, go home and get your meth pipes and smoke your crack. I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
I have a twisted sense of humor. I thought that shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
But I could see where he can get in some trouble for it.
Yeah.
Who was on the call for this match? Was it JR?
I hear JR.
Did you hear the news from him? Did you hear the JR news that came out this week that 2024 is going to be his last year of commentary?
I know he re-signed a contract for another year. I know that much because I heard that on his podcast, but I didn't.
Yeah, apparently,
I didn't hear that this was it.
2024 is going to be his last full year of commentary.
Health-wise, especially with what he's going through with the skin cancer and all, and then his leg not healing right. It
makes sense.
Are using sparingly. Yeah, see, what I'm reading is potentially. I don't think it's he might have said more than likely, but he basically said as long as they keep signing him and they keep wanting him to be there, he'll be there.
Okay. Because they also fired Kevin Kelly, right? If I'm not mistaken, last week they removed him from all the pages, and he's not welcome back at the arena. Apparently,
He got fired.
He got fired. Right.
He flat out got fired, and had something. I heard it was something about something he said about Ian Riccoboni. I don't know. I don't watch Ring of Honor enough, and I know he's been on Ring of Honor forever. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not paying for Honor Club to watch him. I don't care enough. Let's see. So I'm trying to read online, and I'm on the John Report website, which is my backup when 411 doesn't have it. Yeah, so they're. Yeah, so, okay. I could read. I did hear this. Okay. And it's funny because that episode has been out for a full week and it only became news yesterday. I think somebody needed some clicks. But and that's not a knock on the John reporters because other sites are reporting it. All right. So he was asked about the length of his deal and whether that would mean retiring as a commentator when it expires. And his answer was, I think so. I'm realistic to think that I'm 72 years old. I feel good. I get healthier every day, which is great, but I have to think realistically, this could be my last year, and more than likely will. It's to be determined. That's between me, my health, and Tony Khan. That's what I remember him saying. Gotcha. Right now, it's a good plan because I'm essentially working, as I understand, pay-per-views only. So he's not working full-time.
He's not working full-time, right.
That's where you'll find me as the plan goes as we speak. As we know in pro wrestling, things change and could be different, but I don't think so at this occasion. I think it's what I'll be doing, and that's fine with me. I get to go to big shows, call big matches on big shows. Tony Khan has a good feel for what he'd like me to do and my skill set. Right now, my situation is I'm going to be married to the pay-per-views. That's good. Maybe it'll help the buy rates a bit. Storytelling will be a little sounder and different. So it sounds, I think realistically, it's going to come down to whether Tony Khan wants him to stay for another year or not.
Which makes sense. I mean,
yeah.
If he's just going to do the pay-per-views, it makes sense.
And people have said he's not what he used to be. I actually still think he does a pretty damn good job, but I also feel like Taz and Shivani and Excalibur got it nailed on Dynamite. They flow together. They work well together. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's Ross is needed. I think it would be interesting if Ross was doing Collision with Nigel McGuinness more full-time. I think that interaction would be interesting because Nigel McGuinness really has that asshole commentator.
Right, yeah. So they'd play well off of each other.
Yeah, and did you see Nigel? Oh, my God. Who the hell was it? It might have been Mariah May. I think it was Mariah May was wrestling, and he, like, got down on the ground and was, like, going nuts, and they were, like, whoever was with them was, it might have been Shivani, was like, "You're embarrassing yourself. What the hell are you doing?"
Nice.
It was stuff you would have never seen him doing for NXT UK right. or NXT when he was over here. By the way, while we've been talking, did I miss The Rock doing the Ric Flair walk yet?
I don't think he's pulled it out yet.
Okay, because this is one of my favorite parts of this match.
And for everybody, the Encyclopedia was in attendance for this match. For this pay-per-view.
So was Stevie G, our former co-host?
Stevie G, yes.
Rob might have been here, but I didn't know. We weren't friends back then. I didn't know him yet.
Jason so may have as well, because you and Jason and Rob were all at a show together and didn't know each other at the time either.
That was the 2002 SummerSlam, so that was before that, before this. So it's possible.
This is the first time they didn't use that that little side entrance right there.
Yeah, this is one of those times. That's true. I think Monday night, when they did Monday Night Raws, were the other times.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember going to a Raw there back in the day.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that Flair did this first.
Hilarious. Classic. Do you think Rock can still do the kick up?
We'll see
at Mania.
I would say if it's possible, but I feel like he's so muscled up now that I'm not sure.
It might be tough, right?
Right. He doesn't quite have that lean muscle we're seeing now.
Yeah.
This is what I remember.
Rick
Flair acts like he's having a heart attack.
Love it.
At least here it wasn't thought that he was having a real one like in his last match, right? Right. Fucking idiot. Oh, great. I just got this kicked off YouTube.
So, also a little wrestling news that came out this week. Miro and Lana are no longer together?
Separated, yeah.
Separated. And then a picture surfaced of Lana and Damian Priest from Puerto Rico. I think it's an older picture, but them eating on the beach. Like, I guess when they were all hanging out. But it could have been doctored and edited to make it seem that way when it was more of them. But you see them eating chicken wings on the beach.
I'm seeing 2023.
Yeah, that must have been when they were in PR for Backlash.
Okay. That makes sense. That's what it was. Look, I'm sure she's a wonderful person. I think she's another one more so than Mercedes Moné, even. See how I tied that in there. Where she thought she was bigger than she was.
Yes.
I think she's a wonderful person. Don't get me wrong. I think she's a nice, friendly, caring person deep down. I think she's a lot of much. I think she requires and needs a lot of attention. And I think it could wear on you after a while. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily. That's who she is. That's fine. But I give Miro a lot of credit because especially him, he seemed a little bit more humble than she is.
Yeah, he seemed a little more low-key.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm not surprised. I actually was surprised as long as it lasted, and I don't think it's any fault of either one of them. They are who they are. I just think she's a lot.
Right.
And I think she needs another high-energy person to keep up with her.
Makes sense.
Well, that's just my opinion.
Mr. Sacco is out.
I think one time I had ordered something off shop, and they threw in a free Sacco.
That's hilarious.
I think Steven had it, and that's it.
And there it is. Fold the pin. Mike Yoda, we haven't seen him since, what, he got fired? Did he appear? He appeared in AEW for a little bit now, if I'm not mistaken.
Foley?
No, Kyoto, the ref.
Oh, yeah, Kyoto did. Kyoto actually has a podcast.
Oh, okay.
I think it's behind that adfree.com firewall.
Got you.
And I don't think it's on that minimum $9 a month tier. I think it's on one of their higher tiers. But he really sounds like he spoke too much. He's got a really deep voice. Like, you wouldn't expect him, but he really sounds deeper than this. It's actually kind of surprising, like, when we watched him for decades.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, when I first heard him talk, I was like, oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
And if I remember correctly, he shares his opinion. He's opinionated, but it's interesting to hear his perspective on stuff. So if you got time and you could find some of his stuff, I definitely think it's at least worth a little bit of a listen. I don't know if I'd listen to him every week, but I think they call him Monday Mailbag with Mike Kyoto.
Okay.
Makes Conrad, sense. Send me that advertising check.
All right. Hook it up.
Right. And this isn't the end. This feud goes on. Foley versus Orton occurs the very next month, right, at Backlash for the Intercontinental title. And it is a no-holds-barred match. Foley was actually Cactus Jack in that one. And I'm going to tell you folks now, I'm sorry to disappoint you. We've already done it as a watch-along. Go check the archive. Yep. We don't want to do another watch-along of the same match again after the Royal Rumble 95 fiasco, although we might make that a yearly tradition. I don't know.
It might be a yearly thing.
So.
But I guess that's it for tonight.
That's it.
The Sports Frenzy Pod on Twitter, The Sports Frenzy Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Go check it out. Like, subscribe, and we will catch you guys next week. Peace.